to say now and then. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have that promise this morning. We serve the living God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. You doing foot washing there, Brother John? We found a few new leaks at our house. And first one, I go into my den and it was dripping, so I asked my wife to get a bucket. She put it. Brought it in, I put it there, and then I noticed, well, that's not the only place. There's another spot. Part of the ceiling had started coming down. And then I heard a sound out in the hall, and there's a leak in the hall. And my wife comes in a little later. Oh, the bedroom on the other side of the house, there's this big bubble. She said, it hasn't come down. I said, well, better put a bucket under that. And look out on the back porch, and... Yeah, anyway, we probably would have found these things a lot sooner if it would just rain. Now, be careful what you ask for. So as of yesterday, this is the 13th wettest July on record so far. And as of yesterday, this is the 5th wettest year on record. So... Now, the faucet could turn off tomorrow, and that would be it, but we still got 2 more months of rainy season, so I'm not complaining. Yeah, we got a poor trustees. They just redid the roof at the church house, and they came in, Sunday school came in this morning, and part of the ceiling is collapsed. I guess water... was coming in where the swamp cooler is at, and it looks like it might come through where the other one's at. So we say praise the Lord anyhow. So I come in, we're getting ready to pray for the service ahead of time with the musicians, and I found a couple of leaks, and Brother Blumpy's eyes come up like this, because he's been chasing leaks. You know, we've had leaks here and there, and I said, no, it's at home. He says, well, I know your office isn't leaking. And I said, well, I guess I'll spend time in my office then, huh? There's one place I can run to. Praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Aren't you glad we serve a living God? Amen. Amen. Hear my voice. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not... him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Man-made gods can't remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, and our God answers with fire. And the church says, amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this morning, there's thanksgiving in our hearts, there's anticipation in our hearts, and we're thankful for the rain, we're thankful for all that you do. You are Jehovah Jireh, you are our provider, and we give you honor and glory for everything, Lord. And we're thankful for everything that you do, and what you're going to do. And we just come to worship you once again this morning in spirit and in truth. Father, there are some that are cut off from the body because of weather this morning. We ask that you would minister to them as well as us this morning. And those that are going to be listening in at another time, we just ask that you'd bless them as well. And, And Father, we've come for our portion, and you knew before the foundation of the world exactly what we would have need of, and you're an on-time God. So we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and our trust is completely in you. And it's with great anticipation that we ask, Lord, for you to speak to our hearts once again. We surely will listen, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say. And Lord, you will confirm it in our lives if it's you. We thank you and we love you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. I should have probably mentioned this before we went to prayer. Our sister Karen Pruitt is having several brain bleeds as we speak. And she's been kind of in a unresponsive condition for about 4 or 5 days. And the doctor has no hope, but the great physician, we've completely committed into his hands, and we've seen him do it again and again and again. So just appreciate it if you continue to remember our sister Karen in prayer. Also, we have some youth services that are coming up on Saturday, the October 14th, and then again on Saturday, October 21st. It's just the way it worked out. We've got visiting ministers coming, and you know, I could have said, well, since we got one coming on the 14th, we don't need one coming on the 21st. But no, I recognize that if the Lord is sending ministers our way, we'll just take advantage of it. And so Brother Andy has made flyers, and we'll be on the board. And yes, what did I say? October. Huh? Wow, I'm looking ahead. Was I prophesying? August 14th and August 21st. Yes, thank you. You know, it's open to 13 to 30 singles, never been married, and we're opening up to other churches as well, but our main focus is on our young people to just be able to press in and receive what the Lord has for them. So be in prayer about that. And then one more thing, and I apologize for taking this time, but we need to. We're going through another spike of COVID right now, and there's been a mutation, as there always is, which is why they change the vaccine for the flu every year, is because it's a different strain each time. Well, there's been a mutation in the virus, and this particular mutation, they say, is twice as is twice as infective. It'll infect twice as many people, and it already was much more infective than, say, the flu or anything else. So it's real concern. And you know, we kind of loosened up here a little bit because we've come through what we thought was the worst of it, and probably is the worst of it. And there's a vaccine out there that most of us that are in the proper age group have partaken of. Not all of us, and some of us are have maybe had it before, and so you have some immunity built up. But whether you have or you haven't, that isn't the issue. The issue is that we're at risk here for, there are some amongst us that are at risk, and I don't necessarily know everyone that's at risk. I know some of you for sure. So I'm just going to ask that we, you know, go back to fist bumping or just nodding politely to one another. You say, well, I've already had a vaccine, and so has my brother and sister. But the problem is we're not all in the same boat. And, you know, if I go to shake somebody's hand and they don't want to shake my hand, you put them in a spot. It's kind of tough to not do that, because who wants to, you know, say, no, I'm not going to shake your hand or whatever. So I'm just going to ask that we just dial it back here for just a little bit, and it worked before. And you know, this is us doing our part. We know that if we do get sick, we totally trust the Lord and Him only. He is our healer. But why contract something if we don't have to? So I'm asking you as your pastor to live for others once again. And, you know, it may only be for another 3 or 4 weeks, or we may have to go through it again at some later date. But I for the sake of those amongst us that are vulnerable, I ask that you would do this. Also, Brother Reagan contacted us, several of the pastors this week, and let us know that they're going through another wave at their church. And I think he said at the time there's about 66 that have been diagnosed with COVID so far. And his daughter is one of them that had been battling with cancer, and the Lord had healed her, but her immune system is weak, of course. So we want to keep them in prayer. And anyone else. So, you know, if there's one thing that, you know, we always pray sincerely to every request that's brought forth. We don't take it lightly. And if there's anything that this COVID should have taught us over the last year and a half is to pray and pray sincerely. And, of course, we have been, and we've seen God move time and time again, and we expect to see God move time and time again. Amen?
Amen.
It's real quiet here this morning, but that's okay. So as we looked at on Wednesday, God always sends a supernatural sign to draw the attention of the people. And then the sign is always followed by a voice, a message, a warning, a call. He doesn't clown. He doesn't do anything for no reason. He doesn't do things to show off. If he's giving supernatural signs, there's a voice that's going to follow, and it's to catch the attention of those that are going to hear that voice. And those that refuse that voice are going to pay a price, but they've been warned, as we read about here in the scriptures this morning. So we saw that the children of Israel had, in our text on Wednesday night, we saw that the children of Israel had forsaken the covenant that the Lord had made with them in the days of Elijah, and they turned instead to the false gods of Baal and of the groves and tree huggers and so forth. You know, it wasn't that they completely denied that Jehovah was God, but he wasn't sufficient any longer. And the Lord used Elijah to call for a showdown, saying, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" And he called for the people and for the 450 prophets to Baal and the 400 prophets to of the groves to meet him on Mount Carmel. And he said unto them, "Why not settle this once and for all? You claim to trust in the God of your forefathers, and yet you also call on these other so-called gods when it's convenient. Or when you think that perhaps Jehovah is not listening or is not sufficient to provide for your needs." You know, it's interesting that Elijah mocked them when they called upon their gods and says, "Perhaps your God is not listening." Now, in this mocking, we think it's just idle mocking, but what he was doing to them is what Israel had been doing to Jehovah. Right. Maybe he's not listening. So let's call on the God of Baal, and let's call on the God of herbs, and let's call on the God of meteorology, and let's call on the God of whatever it might be. Now, friends, the pharmaceutical gods or whatever, there is absolutely nothing wrong with these other channels that God can use to bring healing in your life. But what's wrong is to give credit to another god. Is to look as if it's another god and the same god that the world looks to. So he said unto them, "Why not settle this once and for all? You claim to trust in your God, but at the same time you're calling on these other gods. You believe that Jehovah is your healer for certain things. But then you look to other gods, the gods of the heathens no less, for other things. You trust in the herbologists and the iridologists." Now, if this bothers you this morning, this is for you. Amen. Let me just say that ahead of time. Amen. You know, I'm tired of people telling me that bothered me as if I'm supposed to not preach it. Well, what'd you come here for?
Amen.
Repent. You trust in the herpetologist, the iridologist, the herpetologist, the mineralogist, the meteorologist, the astrologist, the pharmacologist. The Lord God of Israel made a covenant with you and with your children and with no other people. But you've forsaken your own covenant to trust in other gods, believing that he's not one God, but he's three or four, or why stop there? Maybe a million. Listen, friends, we know that God is the only one that can heal. And we know that he can work through different avenues to give wisdom to man to bring certain things that will allow our bodies to heal. But only God can heal. We also know that healing is only of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan cannot heal because he would be fighting against his own kingdom. Plus, he can't heal. So our trust is in him and in him alone. And we give him honor and glory throughout everything and for everything. So Elijah gathered all the prophets together and all the people together on a mountain called Carmel and said, let the God that is God, let him answer with fire. Amen. I'd say that's a pretty good thing to do, wouldn't you? If let the God of this Bible confirm his word. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let the true and living God vindicate himself and his presence in the supernatural. Recall that John the Baptist, who came later on in the spirit of Elijah, he declared, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's one coming after me, a mightier one than me, a great and mighty angel. Revelation chapter 10, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will vindicate to you that he is the true and living God of his covenant. He's the one that I'm speaking of. He's the one that I'm introducing you to. He's the one that I'm turning your heart to. He is the angel of his own covenant, the minister of his own covenant, and he will vindicate it. He is the mighty one. There is none like him. There's no God like Jehovah. Amen? So the people said to Elijah, well, that sounds good to us. You have spoken well. And so he challenged them to call upon their gods first to answer the challenge with fire. And after they prayed to their gods and all day long, morning, noon, clear up until the evening time. Then in the evening time, Elijah prayed, and down came the fire. And then they knew that he alone is God. And then Elijah took the sword of the word and slew the false prophets. And even though they all saw or some heard of the supernatural move of God that had taken place, the church wanted to kill the messenger of whom Jezebel was a type. They wanted to silence the messenger because the word of the Lord always comes to his true prophets. But then it comes to his ministers after it's come to his prophets. So you have to have the same reverence. Well, you got to have the same approach, the same reverence. And your approach will determine what happens in your life. So God always draws the attention of his people by the supernatural signs of his presence. And then his voice speaks. He wouldn't even do the supernatural signs if there wasn't going to be a voice. And then we saw that the Jezebel church wanted to kill Elijah, just as they do in this day, and to silence the voice that was speaking from the earth. And Elijah, we saw on Wednesday, he wasn't depressed, but he was wore out, tired, and he didn't run from God, but he ran to God. He ran to a special place to get alone with the Lord, and he was ministered to. not only by the Lord, but the Lord sent his angels to minister unto him. And then he, from there, he went to a cave on another mountain, and he witnessed the supernatural of the presence of the Lord. The Lord told him, go stand over here. And he came by in a rushing mighty wind, and there were rocks that were tossed here and there. And the scripture says, but the Lord wasn't in it. But it doesn't mean that wasn't the Lord that was doing it. It was his supernatural presence. But Elijah was there for another reason. He was witnessing the supernatural, but he wanted God to speak to him. And so the next thing, the earth shook, and there was a great earthquake, and Elijah just stood his ground. The next thing, there was a fire that came down. Elijah stood his ground, and then a still small voice. Amen. So he was waiting for that voice. He wasn't, friends, that was his presence that was there among him, on the scene, and God was vindicating his presence. But there was a voice that was going to come. And so he waited until he heard that still small voice that was first vindicated by the supernatural of his presence. Likewise, we know that Moses met this very same living God on a mountain, and that the earth shook as it did when Elijah met with him. And the Lord appeared in lightnings and in thunderings and in fire. And the people down below heard it and saw it. And an earthquake. And all the people saw the supernatural of his presence. But then a voice spoke to Moses. But the people said, we don't want the Lord to speak to us. They said, speak to Moses. We don't want the Lord to speak directly to us. They said, speak to Moses, and then we will listen to Moses as he tells us what your voice declared, and we'll do what you tell us to do. Did they do it? No. We know that almost a whole generation of people that followed Moses out from amongst the denominational systems of Egypt, they failed to listen to that voice and to hear ye him, though it was vindicated with the supernatural. In our text this morning, Paul gives us a very grave and solemn instruction. Namely, that we take care that we do not refuse him that speaketh. And that word refuse here, it means to shun, to avoid. Why don't you come to church? You're refusing him that speaks. Go ahead and paint it, pet it, call it whatever you want. Well, that's what you're doing. To reject, to excuse. I'm sorry, friends. Those of you, there's so many of you that are faithful. God bless you. And he does. And he will. But I'm going to cry out. And you can put it right back in my teeth all you want, but God's vindicated it. And is vindicating it. On Wednesday night, we were speaking about how much we enjoy the supernatural, and we look for it. And I gave an analogy towards the end of me going on a trip, and I've been gone for a while. And as I'm coming home, my wife hears me driving up in the driveway. Well, she hears the sound of my truck, and she knows that it's me. She knows it isn't UPS and Amazon, and because my vehicle gives a certain sound. And maybe I approach the driveway in a certain way. And she gets a little excited about that. She might shout. She might cry. She might not do anything. But she will be in expectation to hear my voice. Amen. She won't just run off on the sign and say, well, praise the Lord, I'm satisfied. But that sign foreran me, saying that I'm coming. And then what she really wants is to hear from me. I'm saying that by faith this morning. And we the Lord just moved on in the service Wednesday night supernaturally. And towards the end of the service, looked over, our sister Joyce was sitting right here. I hope it's okay to share this, but sitting right there. And I said, you know the Lord's speaking to you. you know the Lord's mindful of, and you've been through this and that. You've lost a child. You've lost your husband. Both your parents are gone, and no doubt other things. And her testimony is always, praise the Lord. How you doing? Good. Yeah. Blessed and highly favored. Right? Yeah. Now, she has every reason to seemingly to moan and groan like some of you do. And you want attention for it. But she's given the attention to him. And I looked at her and I said, you know he's speaking to you. Well, she had been to the doctor. The doctor had diagnosed her with lupus. And she hadn't shared it with the church. And she had to go back to the doctor right after. But the Lord had spoke to her. And the Lord told her, you don't have lupus. And so she's thinking, should I even? And then we looked right at her and said, you know the Lord's spoken to you. Now, I didn't know what the Lord said, and I didn't know why I was saying it. You just surrender and let God have his way. Amen. She was wondering, should I go to the doctor or not? Well, she went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at all the results and said, what are you doing here? I don't understand. Why did they say you have lupus? That's the God we serve. There was a sign, and then there was a voice. And then there was a confirmation. That's the God that we serve. To shun, to avoid, to reject, to excuse. This is what refuse means. So even just to excuse. Of one excusing himself from not accepting a wedding invitation to a feast. Recall those that were called to a wedding feast. They had excuses. And every one of them were seemingly legitimate. You know, I bought a new horse. I got to go break them. You know, I just got married. I got a wife to look after and, you know, have this honeymoon that's going to last about 20 years. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You know, every one of those things are things that we do here in life. Right? But they valued those things more than coming to the wedding feast. So they did not listen to that voice. Even though initially it seemed that they did. So these words are very applicable to the day that we're living in. For we have heard from God in a very marvelous and in a very unique way in our day, as they do in every age. Why is it, or what is it that set Israel apart from all the other nations of people? It was because they heard God's voice and he spoke to them. And he dealt with them as his people. And he proved that he was their God and that they were his people. Not in the supernatural alone, but in word and deed. But in the supernatural of his presence and then in the spoken word of his voice that followed. So Israel was unique in this way and was set apart from the rest of the world unto the Lord himself. And he referred to them as my people. When speaking to Solomon at the dedication of the temple to the Lord in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let's look at and see what he said after Solomon offers up a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. In other words, unlike you, he didn't just drive to church and then get in an argument with his wife and then maybe turn around and say, well, it's raining. Oh, don't get me started. People say, oh, it's a snow day. Every day was a snow day in North Dakota. We went to church, or we went to school anyway. Right? Oh, there's a cloud coming by. I guess I better stay home. Now look at all the preparation that took place before meeting with the Lord. I guarantee you, that's why special meetings are so special. You know why? Because some of you that only sing at special meetings, practice. Prepare. Oh, you shouldn't say stuff like that. I should. This is serious. Amen. Don't be lukewarm. Let's don't play church. Let's don't be in the middle. How long halt ye between two opinions? If he's God, give him everything that you have. He deserves it.
Amen.
There's where all this quote-unquote depression comes in. First of all, it's selfishness, self-centeredness. But this quote-unquote depression comes in because you're serving yourself and not serving him. If you were giving him your all, you'd see him, his manifestation of his presence every time we come together. Every day in your life. I'm going to preach it, friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, notice, why would the Lord appear to Solomon by night? Because Solomon was spending time with him during the day. Because Solomon was walking with the Lord. And he said, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Isn't it interesting? Elijah, God shut up the heaven that there be no rain in the ministry of Elijah also. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, that's what he did in Moses' day, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. There's too much pride. Listen, friends, if you come to church and say, you shouldn't have said that, or I don't want to hear it, your problem is pride. There's no other way to say it. It's pride. If you'll humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn, your hearts have to be turned, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land when they zealously repent.
Amen.
Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. His eyes are open. It means he's telling us what he sees. For now I have chosen and have sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. It means the all-seeing God will be amongst us.
Amen.
And as for thee, now friends, if he's amongst us, he's going to tell us what he sees.
Amen.
He's going to speak his word. He's not going to bring something else. Amen.
Amen.
And if you'll hear his voice, you'll benefit.
Amen.
If not, you're going to get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
We're going to have church.
Amen.
And we're going to keep having church. And we're going to keep having church.
Amen.
I realize, friends, that there are spirits, and there have been spirits here that are actually pulling together.
Yeah.
In fact, that spirit of depression, that's why the Lord had us hammer down on that so hard on Wednesday night. It's a spirit. And what it does is it pulls from this one and that one. It doesn't want to be cast out. And so somebody comes up for prayer, and you pray, and there's some deliverance. Then you go home. Then you come back.
Right.
And it comes back.
Right.
Why? Because the spirit's never left.
Right.
Now, friends, I've been to churches that are just habitations of devils. You go and it's creepy. Like a Catholic church, you feel spirits.
Right.
You feel their presence.
Right.
And thoughts are coming through and it's spooky.
Right.
And I thought, man, I'm glad I don't go to that church. But our church has become a habitation of devils.
Right.
There are devils that are comfortable coming into church.
Right.
And they're aligning themselves.
Yeah. Right.
And you know what these devils do? You want the days of Ananias and Sapphira to return? We're here. There's a time where sin won't come in through the door.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So it'll be called out if you won't repent.
Right.
So somebody hears something they don't like. So they call up brother so-and-so. And brother so-and-so is kind of weak.
Yeah.
Just wants a little fellowship.
Yeah.
So the next thing you know, brother so-and-so is in league with them. And then a relative gets involved. And before you know it, the pastor's the devil. You know what that is? That's devils uniting together to muzzle your pastor. Meanwhile, the rest of you want to see God. The rest of you don't want to hear sermon after sermon after sermon about this devil and that devil and this devil, because you're not fighting those devils. Except when you come to church. And we shouldn't have to fight those devils at church. Look, I can outstare any of you. So go ahead and bear down on me. The rest of you hear his voice. I'm not casual about my walk. And you shouldn't be either. I'm not casual about the voice that I hear daily. And you shouldn't be either. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Well, how'd they get an Ahab? They forsook their covenant. But if you will turn away, allow Elijah to turn your hearts back. And forsake. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes, Elijah's to turn our hearts. But they're turning back like Lot's wife. And forsake my statutes and my commands. Friends, we nailed it harder than ever on Wednesday night. There shouldn't be a depressed person in the building. We get discouraged, but the Lord is our strength. And we run to him. And he ministers to us. And if that's not taking place, go somewhere else. Because we're not here to join your pity party. We're not here to run down our living God and say, well, he's not really here, and you're supposed to be depressed, and you're not spending time in his presence. Because if you are, he'll change the atmosphere. He'll lift you up. He'll encourage you. He'll strengthen you. And you will give him praise like the rest of us do. I'm telling you, friends, there's not one depressing devil that's going to be comfortable here any longer. We battle not against flesh and blood, but these are spirits. And you can feel them as they pull from one side of the building to the other. But I'm putting them on notice here. We put them on notice on Wednesday night. I'm putting them on notice by the word of the Lord this morning. We choose to be happy. It's a choice. We choose to testify of his mercy and his goodness and his healing and his friendship and his deliverance, and not of all the negativity. And we choose not to run our brothers and sisters down. People go from church to church to church, and they bring their problems with them. Oh, at first they come and it's a honeymoon. And they repent and they take off their high heels and they quit wearing makeup and whatever. But then after a while, it gets old. And the next thing you know, the same spirits that they were battling at the place that they... So that's where these spirits came from. Other churches. And religious devils are the worst devils that there are. I can see some of you staring me down. That's all right. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to preach it. And you're going to see a greater and greater and greater vindication. Because we're not playing church. These boys sitting in the front row, they didn't come here to play church. And you hinder. You hinder the next generation. Oh, look after this tree God. Look after that one. Follow after this one. Did you hear what Sister Joyce some woman preacher, psychologist, huh? See, you know. I don't listen to that voice. Not getting after you. I've seen her quoted on Facebook. And yet your pastor isn't quoted. Well, I don't like him. Well, are you hearing the word of the Lord or not? Because you don't have to like me. But you do have to hear his word. And if you just be faithful, as our dear sister back there, you'll see God do it again and again and again and again. We were happy before you got here, devil. We'll be happy when you leave, devil. We're not leaving. We're not asking for a divorce. We're telling you, you're not welcome. Now, if you think that spirit is you, you'll get upset. But maybe this is the first time in your life that anybody's ever told you like it is. And told you, you got a devil that you've been identifying with. And you think that's you. But it's a devil. It's not just for some of us to be happy. And that's one reason. I was sharing this with Brother Joe here a couple of days ago. That's one reason my childhood growing up, I had the blues all the time. That's one reason I believe that God allowed that in my life. I had situations. Plus, we lived in some of the windiest places in the country. And if it wasn't windy, it was foggy or it was overcast. Didn't see the sun very much. And some people are affected by that more than others. Brother Branham was affected by it. He talked about he'd go back to Indiana and he'd get kind of moody and the stuff would come in and then he'd get a cold and want to kind of hermit up and whatever. And he's out here in Arizona and just enjoying the sun and what have you. So we know that those things can be factors. But since the Lord got a hold of my life, made himself real to me, I don't battle that any longer. Yet I could. Because I'm tempted by it, just as anybody else is. But I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. I'm not afraid to... I'm not afraid. I have not the spirit of fear, the spirit again to fear. Amen? And I refuse to testify of the works of the devil. And I'm not... And I'm happy. And I'm in charge of my own happiness. Now, if you want to go around and tell us how miserable you are, you're also in charge of your happiness. Well, praise the Lord. I'm getting amens all over the building. There's spirits that hate this morning. But you love it. Because you want the people that are troubled by these spirits, you want them to be as happy as you are. And you know God's not a respecter of persons. If he'll do it for Sister Joyce, he'll do it for you. Well, hallelujah. Let's make sure if the Lord tarries that we leave something for this next generation. A living God. Not a testimony of about what you hate about this church, which seems to match every other church you've ever been to. Isn't that convenient? Change the faces, but same problems. And the only thing that's constant is you. New church, new people, same problems. Why is that? Because it's the same you. I'm going to preach it. But you don't have... You could be a new creature too. A new creation. You can be free of that. I'm preaching it to you this morning. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. So if he's going to make sure that if they serve him and put him first and repent, that they'll have a godly king, can he do that for a pastor? Make sure you have the right kind of a pastor. I get it when you were going to a habitation of devils. I get it why your pastor, you didn't live any higher than your pastor preached. But if you're doing things right, God's not a liar. These guys have every right to expect the God of the Bible to do for them what he's done for us and even more. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. So in other words, the other nation is going to be talking about this. Huh, look at what their God did to them. They forsook him. He forsook them. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And this was fulfilled 70 AD, or 68 AD, with the trampling of where one stone was not left upon another. And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. This is what Israel had done. This is what Elijah was getting after him on. And laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. So God made a covenant with Israel, and Israel rejected him when he came to them as their Messiah and his bridegroom, the angel of his own covenant. They refused him. For the scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. In other words, they refused him that spoke on the earth. When he spoke, the kingdoms of heaven and earth were shook, but they refused him, and they counted themselves as unworthy of his covenant. Now, friends, if people can do that when he's there in a corporal body, how much more can they do it when he's here in spirit? God declared to us in his word that he would call a people out for his name's sake. But he said, this time I'm going to call them out of the Gentiles. These people are not going to be of one tribe this time. Why do you think there's a move right now to pit this one against that? It's because God said, I can get them all together in one spirit. I'm the grand equalizer. I will have... they will be from kindreds, tongues, nations, all different races, different languages. I will call them from all nations, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. So he promises us that this last age would hear the final voice in the final age, the voice of God, even as the first age heard from God. And the way that the first age heard from God was when God came and down in flesh and spoke personally to that generation that was on the earth at that time, the Son of Man himself. God became flesh and dwelt among us. But he said he would do it again. He would speak again. But this time, he did not speak to the people through that same vessel, but through the very ministry of Jesus Christ, through another vessel. Now listen close, friends. If we're to come back full circle, And if we're to hear from God again in this last age, in this evil age, as they did in the first age, then we have to have the same ministry that Jesus Christ had. We have to have that very same ministry repeat again in our day.
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Amen.
But of course, he cannot come to us in his corporal body like he did to the first church, because he cannot physically leave the throne of intercession or the altar of sacrifice until the last one comes in. If he were to physically come to the earth right now, well, then the rapture would take place. And we'd go off to a wedding supper. And then 3.5 years later, we'd be in the millennium, which follows after the rapture of the church and the wedding supper. But since he cannot come to us with nail-scarred hands in our day, then he would need a ministry that he could use to speak to us and to the rest of the world. And God's pattern is always he'll speak through the mouth of prophets.
Amen.
So this pattern has to repeat when he makes himself known to the remnant of Israel. He's not going to physically come down in a nail-scarred body and reveal himself to the Benjamin group, Joseph revealing himself to Benjamin, but he'll do it through the prophets. The ministries of either the Elijah and Moses or the ministries that are like Elijah and Moses, two prophets for sure. So if you can't receive it now, don't wait to receive it then, because you won't receive it then if you aren't receiving it now. And it isn't to you anyway. So we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22, where the Lord speaks to this very last age in a unique way. He starts off in verse 14 by saying, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans," right? So he's speaking to the messenger for this age, saying, write this, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And then in verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him," not unto him, into him, "and I'll sup with him. And he with me," we'll have communion. I'll speak to him. He'll hear my voice. So he tells us personally, friends, "If any man hear my voice." Now, of course, the word "man" here means mankind. Man or woman, boy or girl. Paul tells us in Hebrews that there are consequences to refusing him that speaketh. And he says in verse 25, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape." We've been promised a way of escape.
Amen.
This is our way of escape. Hear ye him.
Amen.
"Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." So friends, we know that there are consequences in this age if we refuse or fail to listen to the voice when he speaks to us. We're told by Jesus in the parable of the fig tree, you know, they ask him, "What are the signs of the end and when shall these things happen?" They ask him three different questions. And And he says in the 21st chapter, he says, when the fig tree and all the trees, when they bring forth their bud, all the nations coming forth. So he's describing what the conditions will be on the earth at the end time. And then he tells us that if we know these things, that we should watch and we should wait and not be drunk on the cares of this life, and thereby be overtaken. What's a drunk person's main problem? A person that's drunk cannot perceive what's going on around him and is trying to escape from what is before him. But that's not God's provided way of escape. He cannot perceive what's going on around him. He's trying to escape from what he sees before him. But alcohol is not our escape. Religion is not our escape. He tells us to watch, therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape. All these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So friends, if God has a provided way for us this morning to escape the oncoming destruction, then I want to take advantage of that. Amen. Don't you? So we are plainly told that our escape is linked to hearing Him. Hearing Him that speaks from heaven. The message to the church in Revelation 3:20 is to those that hear His voice. If any man hear my voice, He says. So the message is to those who will listen, to those that have an ear to hear. But the problem that you and I face in this last age is that He's not the only one that's speaking. And He's not the loudest voice by any means. There's a great multitude of voices that are speaking in this last day. And each one of them is declaring our way is the right way. The voice we're listening to is the right voice. We've got a Mormon voice. We've got a Seventh-day Adventist voice. We've got a New Age voice. A modern science voice. And even voices within the true move of God, as has been in every move. And each voice is declaring the same thing. I am the way of escape, or the way to escape. I am the truth. I alone have the truth. I'm the life. If you listen to me, you will be received, and you will escape what is coming. If you believe in the blood moons, you'll escape. If not, you won't. Well, I'm still here, aren't I? The Lord did not vindicate that. People don't repent, though. I was preaching this. I haven't been invited back. It's not unusual. I don't worry about it. I go where the Lord leads me to go, and His gifts make room for themselves, so I'm supposed to preach wherever I'm supposed to preach, and I don't need your permission or anybody else's. Why would you say that? Because there's spirits here that want to control your pastor. And why? Because they had backslid pastors before that they controlled. I'm going to preach, Brother Andy. So, it happens a lot when we preach out in public places. It's not just here. Other places. We hit on that people follow after these things, you know, they got itching ears, they follow after these things. But then when it doesn't happen, it's like, well, where's the time go? How about them Rockies? Want to go to Denny's? No repentance. I mean, we weren't even going to make it, Brother Andy. Because we refused to bow to that. But no, oh, yeah, I guess we got a little proud. I guess we got on the bandwagon and listened to another voice. Where's the repentance? Brother Branham wasn't against the gifts of the Spirit. Brother Branham said, get those gifted people together before the service. Let them pray. Seek the Lord. Get in the right atmosphere. And then bring forth, you know, if prophecies come forth, write them down. Tongues, write it down. Let it be confirmed by two or three. Don't let that leave the room. They're all responsible, all of them. Don't let that leave the room without it being judged. Bring it up on the desk. then it's read out. And if it happens, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for it. Amen. If it doesn't, get that group down to an altar. Say, Lord, we got a wrong spirit amongst us. Pray that spirit off of them. He didn't call them devils. He said they got a wrong spirit. Pray that spirit off of them. Lord, I'm sorry. We didn't want to yield or witness to a wrong spirit. But instead of doing that, they left the church. And then the people from the church started calling them buzzard roosts and all kinds of names like that. Brother Bram said, don't say that. Don't do that. But they showed who, what manner of a spirit they were under by what they did when the word brought correction. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will receive correction. Thus saith the Lord. I'm corrected every day. I don't know why people get upset about being corrected once a month. Imagine if they came to the other services. So which voice is the one that we're supposed to hear and not refuse to listen to? Isn't God taking an awful risk here when there's so many voices and they're all demanding to be heard in this hour? What if his people never hear his voice? What if they listen to and are convinced by some other voice? How can we know, Brother Baker, which voice is the one that we should listen to? Starts with a birth. If you haven't had that birth, then other spirits in our fellowship can get you to listen to them against your pastor. But if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you won't speak against your pastor. Oh, that was a good one. Let me say that again. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you won't speak against your pastor. Or anyone else. If someone's overcome in a fault and you're convinced of that, you'll pray for them. And you'll go to them meekly to try to restore them. Some of you live in households where you hear trashing all the time. And you think it's okay. But you haven't been to my house. Because you won't hear it over at my house. You won't hear it on Babcock Lane. Or, excuse me, Beale Lane. Or Babcock Villa. Do you think Sister Joyce last Tuesday was sitting around? Well, you know, God didn't love me. And Brother Baker, he's such an ogre. You know, I don't even know why I'm here. You know, I moved out here. I felt like the Lord led me. Then all hell broke loose. Must have been like all these devils in the church said that Brother Baker's the problem. She didn't say that. The same God that led her here is still leading her. And it's so simple. Speaks to her all the time. Speaks to every son or daughter of God all the time. Because you have that secret place that you run to. And it's not called gossip. We're going to have victory here. We owe this to you brothers. You brothers ought to be able to come to one place on the earth. Right? Where God's word is being lifted up. Some of you parents want me to pray for your children all the time. After you've run the pastor down. Why would you have confidence in my prayer? I'm a devil, remember? And why would your children? And if you have a pattern of not coming to church, why would your children do differently? Is it okay for me to preach, Oscar? Oscar Mark. Is it okay? It's all right with you? I know it's okay with these brothers over here. They're about ready to have church over there. They're like, finally. Been waiting for these older ones to get with it. They're sitting there thinking, you know what? Why are there so many grumpy people in the church? These guys aren't grumpy. You think when they get together for fellowship that they run everybody down? They got better things to do. Boring. It's not even interesting. These are problems that you brought from other churches. Before you came here, we preached them out. We've tolerated it. Now we're going to preach it out again. And we will have church. Every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us needs to allow the Lord to be our healer. And allow us to trust again. So how can we be sure that we're listening to the true voice of God above all the noise and all the confusion of the day that we live in? You know, just in the ranks, this was my question before the message came across my path. Just in the ranks of Christianity alone, there are some 30,000 denominations. And each one with a voice that they are following. Each one claims to have the words of Jesus. Each one claims to know what he meant by what he said. If you go to a Christian bookstore, there's book after book after book after book by different authors, each claiming to have the word of the Lord for you personally. In other words, the Bible's not enough anymore. If you go on the internet, oh boy, you could spend several lifetimes reading through those that say, I'm the way. How can God be heard above all of this confusion? God would have to vindicate or prove to us that the voice that we hear is his voice. Amen. He would have to have some way to distinguish his own voice from all the other voices. And it would have to be more than just the voice of a man. Because we're not here to hear a voice of a man. Every doctor of divinity has a voice. And some voices may reach hundreds, some may reach thousands, some may reach tens of thousands. But we're told, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, and yet there's thousands that are speaking, maybe millions. And for each speaker, there are hundreds or thousands that hear what he says. And then they all have different opinions. This is the condition that Israel was in when God raised up Elijah. You know, it reminds me of a time in the first church age when Paul came to a place that was called Mars Hill in Athens, Greece. And this spot was considered the most venerable of places where the Greeks held court and judged matters. And my son Ben and I and Allie and my wife, we stood there and witnessed that place. It's where the Greeks judged matters, initially dealing with the most serious of crimes, such as murder or burning down somebody's olive grove. That was a capital offense. Touch not mine oil. Oil comes from the olive. Takes years to get those groves producing. This hill is memorable as the place of the meeting of the council of Areopagus, if I've said that right. Is that right? Close enough? Which met from ancient times, even into the Roman times. And it's a place where the mythical god Mars slayed the son of Neptune for violating his daughter, and then he was judged there by 12 gods. Now, there's types and shadows in that, because the devil never does anything new. He takes something that God does and perverts it. The Epicureans and the Stoics, they heard Paul speaking in the synagogue, and they wanted to hear about this strange god that he was speaking about. And these two groups were about as opposite as you could get in belief systems, and yet both claiming to follow the same god. The Epicureans, they were living for the pleasures that were in this life, and thereby reduced life to mere materialism. They didn't believe that there was some ultimate truth that would be found in life through human reasoning. So the object of their philosophy was to find happiness by experience. So it was all, does it feel good? If it feels good, it must be right. They believed that God was in nature, and they took, the Stoics, they had a philosophy that was based on morals, and theirs was approached by reasoning. So they saw that there was a God in nature that worked according to certain laws, and they took reason over experience, and they strove for what they called the common good. Their morality was perceived by them to be the high ground and was in direct competition with Christianity in their day. But their morality was not based on the word, but it was actually based on pride, whereas Christianity was based on humility. Complete opposite. They're celebrating pride today. Unless you're a Christian. And they think that that's a put down. I take that as a compliment. So these Stoics were forerunners of the modern day liberalism of our day. This is what we think is right, and we've got the high ground. So both extremes, they wanted to hear what Paul had to say. Because the Athenians, they spent much of their time doing little else but listening to or telling of new and strange things, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge thereof, having itching ears. They wanted to hear what this babbler, Paul, had to say. And a babbler, that's what they called him. A babbler is one who lounges in the marketplace with empty words, eating scraps. Why would you want to listen to somebody like that? You know, it's kind of like listening to somebody that misses church. Because they have a voice. And they want to be heard. Well, come on up here and say it. We'll judge it. That'd be okay?
Sure.
Got complaints? Come stand right over here. Don't do it in your closet, unless it's your prayer closet.
Right.
Don't call it brother so-and-so.
Right.
Make him your soldier. Don't enlist weak people. Get free. Is there anybody here this morning that likes that? Don't raise your hand. Most of us don't. Good preaching, Brother Doug. This should not be like the high school that I went to, where you never knew who was going to stab you in the back and who was having the popularity contest, who was upset about this and that. Amen, Brother Dutch. Some of us come here to have church. Yeah. Hallelujah. So Paul saw all of their idols, all of their gods, looked around, just lining the walls. And he found one that had an inscription on it, but no name. He thought, that's kind of strange. So he looked at it, to the unknown God. You know, in case we miss one. They had so many voices. What did they need one more for? Because they didn't have confidence in any of them all the time. Let's see, here's the lavender oil God. Oh, that bothered me. We'll just take some lavender. It'll calm you down. But there isn't just one oil that you can use, you know. You got to have the kit. Well, I agree with you. Got to have that oil. But there's one oil that'll solve all your problems. And it's the oil of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So they were ever learning, but never coming to the true knowledge thereof, even when they were told of the true voice that spoke. Yet a few of the Areopagites believed and followed Paul. It was sent there. Even there, there were those that were listening to hear about the true and living God. Friends, this is so supernatural. That proves that all that the Father has given him will come. And that when the Father draws, you will come. My sheep, hear my voice. In the midst of all that confusion, everyone has an opinion in our day. And no fear to express it. They have an opinion of what they think God's attitudes are towards the issues of our day. One says, well, you know, I don't think God really cares. You know, he's more mature than that. Another will say, well, you know, God's fixated on this certain thing. This is what's important, but not this other stuff. Others will say, well, we just don't believe that. We don't think that's important. And these are all voices. And if we're not careful, we'll listen to those voices in our own fellowship. You'll hear those voices at the workplace for sure. You'll hear those voices at school. People come to me many times and, you know, please pray. I'm just having such a hard time at work. And we pray with them and then we counsel them to, look, just who's greater? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If God has you there, you got to create the atmosphere. And they'll either get into that atmosphere or at the very least, they'll leave you alone. Because you're not fun to gossip with. Because you're always raining on their parade. You always have a positive answer. They can't stand that. It violates their church code. So they're all voices. We hear them at workplace, we hear them at school, and yes, at churches. So if the voice sounds like the true voice of God, who wrote this word, well, then it's labeled as extreme. And every attempt is made to silence that voice, to get everybody into this lukewarm area. Get rid of the extremes. Don't you dare say a marriage is between a man and a woman. And by the way, what do you mean by man and woman? At least my way is easier. Yours is confusing. How do I even know what to call you when you don't even know what you are? I'll call you what God called you. And then you go sort it out with him. They're all voices. But the more moderate voices the more widely accepted it is, and the more quoted it is.
Right.
And it's looked upon as, you know, that's real enlightenment. Look at how balanced that guy is. Yet with all of these voices, Paul tells us, see that you refuse not the voice that speaks.
Amen.
We're told if the children of Israel did not escape, and they didn't, who heeded not the voice that spoke on the earth, how shall we escape who heed not the voice that is now speaking to us from heavenly places? And yet we hear about all these other voices that are screaming out, each one claiming, we're the true voice, we're the true voice, we're following the true Jesus of the Bible. God has to have a voice. And that voice has to be speaking somewhere, and it has to be giving a certain sound. And there has to be a still small voice. This is the answer to the question I asked earlier. Well, how are we going to know the true voice? There has to be a still small voice in the hearts of each and every son or daughter of God that will bear witness that his voice is the true voice. That's right. You'll say amen. That's it. You'll witness to it. See how simple that is? You didn't have to try to do that. It wasn't hard. You weren't sitting there, well, I'll wait till I get home and we'll discuss it a little bit with the Epicureans and the Stoics and the tape listeners and mom and dad who don't go to church, and somehow we revere their opinion. We run them down when it's convenient. But when we've got a church matter that we've got to judge, well, then we bring our backslid family into it. Come on, friends. What are we listening to those voices for? I'm not. You'll never hear those voices in my house. And outside of my house, if you want to have those discussions, they'll stop. And those of you that I've spent a little time with, trust that we'll get to spend time with each and every one of you at some point or other. It's been a little hard during COVID, but you don't do it either. So where are all these other voices coming from? And you know what? These other voices claim to be the majority. Well, then why haven't they prevailed? And why hasn't God vindicated it? But it's always just a couple. And they're the loudest voices. And they don't want to discuss it openly. Kind of like these pet doctrines. Oh, you got to believe the doctrine of the Son of Man. Okay, I'm here. Preach it. No, that's done in a back room somewhere. All the little details. When it's preached across the pulpit, it's generalized.
Right.
And it's wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say, but I'm not really saying it.
Right.
Yeah, what you're trying to say is you're backslid. I don't hide what I believe. I preach it. Not hiding it this morning. You know where I stand. When I leave here, you know where I stand. If you don't, you're dumb. What I love about preaching this the most is that most of you want to hear this.
Amen.
And I pray that all of you want to hear it at some point. But whether you do or not, I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
That's a miserable devil that would make you miserable.
Amen.
Keep your devil to yourself.
Amen.
I'm not miserable.
Amen.
I'm happy, sister.
Amen.
I know you are too. You know, you battle. That's the temptation, right? We're promised that we will battle, but you resist. And then you ask for prayer, right? And you get victory after victory after victory. And another battle comes. Well, another victory's come. And what you battle may not be the same thing that somebody else battles. Somebody else might not be able to handle a credit card. They need prayer for that. You say, could that happen? Well, that person's not a believer. Okay, Mr. Depresso. We all battle different things. Whew. I don't know who's pulling me this way, but praise the Lord. Well, we'll just have church right here, okay? I'm just going to take a couple more minutes here. Let's look, just in closing, let's look at what the true witness says today. The true voice says in this last day. Revelation 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Of course, Revelation is a book of symbols. So we see that this last age is characterized as lukewarm. And that God hates a lukewarm condition. And recall that he's speaking to the churches. And he tells us, I'm going to penalize this age because of its lukewarmness. So it doesn't matter what we think that about lukewarmness. If we think that lukewarmness is okay, it doesn't matter what you think. What does God have to say about it? The penalty is they will be spewed out of his mouth. Now, what is the mouth of the Lord? The spoken word is in his mouth. So Jesus tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so the word is also supposed to be in our mouths. The word of God is nigh thee, even on thy lips, even in thy mouth. As the church body that represents him while he's physically away, but spiritually amongst us, we are his lips. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Unless they go to Love Divine Fellowship, then, well, you know, we don't really believe that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Wow, that's how it happened in the old time. Wish we could have that. Wish I'd have lived back then. Does God ever change?
No.
Well, how come I never hear? Because you're lukewarm. How could you say that? Because that's the only way that you can't hear from him. I haven't forgot. I have not forgot what it's like to be lukewarm. I haven't forgot what it was like to say, well, don't be extreme. Nobody knows for sure. Nobody has all the truth. I haven't forgot what it was like to live in that gray zone where you everything was extreme otherwise. I haven't forgot that at all. My daughter shared with me a conversation she had with her aunt here just recently. And her aunt was talking about how she respects me and thinks highly of me, whatever. But, and the but part was that, you know, he's got these posts and they don't move. As if they're my posts. You know, and he's narrow-minded, basically, right? Well, guess what? Aren't you glad the posts don't move?
Yes.
Where would we be without the posts?
Right.
Where would we be without the sure word of God?
Yes.
Where would we be if we couldn't rightly judge?
Right.
So So the Word of God comes when men are moved by the Holy Ghost. And it takes the inspiration of Almighty God to move upon the gift of God and to speak to the people. Well then, what's wrong with the people in this last day? What's wrong is that they got away from the Word. And when you get away from the Word, you don't even know what's right and what's wrong. So you have no way to judge what you're hearing. They have forsaken their own covenant, in other words. And thereby, they have forsaken their own mercy, the mercy of God. Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And that's what religion is nowadays. In the lukewarm, I think it's okay. But whoso confesseth, which is the admonition to this last church age, be zealous therefore and repent. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confess your sin, forsake. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Hearts being turned back. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How many knows that's true? Amen. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. They're not fervent about it. How do we know? Just ask them. Just take them to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as a starter and show them what God's thoughts are on the distinctions between a man and a woman. In the face of this very clear language, they'll say, yeah, but, or they'll say, that's not important. They're very lukewarm about it, in other words. Well, then what is important? If all these things are important, then nothing's important. What part of God's word am I supposed to take seriously? What post am I supposed to not move? Come on, friends. The part that's bothering you this morning, or bothering a spirit. No, we're not moving that. You'll thank me for it later. Or you'll thank him for it later. Take him to the scriptures that tells us exactly how to baptize a person in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they'll say, that's not important. Just as long as you accept Jesus and go to church, it doesn't matter. And now going to church doesn't matter either. You speak to them about what's written in his word, and they're lukewarm about it and careless about it, and they're not interested in the word of God. Mainstream denominations have put their own filters on the word of God. Notice, to this age, he says, you say. Those aren't my words. This is what you say. Now let me tell you what I think. So they put their own filters on the Word of God to strain out the objectionable parts so that they can get more members. They say the apostolic days are over and the days of miracles are past. They say, just believe on the man of Galilee and don't look for any certain evidence that he's here right now. They say any healing or miracles are of the devil. The days of the gifts of the Spirit are gone, and any so-called gifts are therefore of the devil today. That's what they say. They say you need to consider the customs and the culture of the day that Paul lived in, and then run what he says through the customs of our day. Sounds like it's getting kind of complicated, don't it, Brother Joel? I mean, if a rocket scientist can't figure that out, then what? The Methodists can't find water baptism in the Word. Right. No wonder homosexuals are priests now. Oh, you hate. I don't hate anybody. I love the sinner. I pray for him. But I don't love the sin. The Church of Christ believes baptism is what regenerates you. The Pentecostals claim to have the word. But just give them the word test. They'll sell out the word for a sensation about every time. Any man that will take a dream or a prophecy over the written word is lukewarm and is sold out. Well, I feel, and I had a dream, and the Lord spoke to me. Where's the repentance for these things? So-and-so told me, and it sounded good to me. I had a chill, so I know that it was right. You just wouldn't believe the things that we've heard over the years. There was water. I was holding my baby in my arms, and there's water underneath the door, and so that was my that meant I was supposed to get baptized. Well, you left out the part that your baby peed through its diaper. I'm telling you the truth. And it dripped on the floor. And that's a sign. I'd say that's a sign that you need some rubber pants. Or a sign that you need to change your baby's diaper. And no, don't hand them to me. Oh, but we're so spiritual. I scratched myself, and the scratch formed a T. That means I'm supposed to move to Tucson. Oh. What if it was a Z? Is there something called starts with a Z? You'd have a tough time figuring that one out. You'd already had your mind made up that that's where you were supposed to go. So you look for some sign to match.
Sure.
Right? You don't want the voice of God. You just want a confirmation that what you're going to do is what you're going to do. And I'm not talking to you this morning. I'm talking to people that do that. Well, what's wrong with dreams and visions and prophecies? Absolutely nothing. Provided you give them the word test. We've been warned that if we put his word aside, he will spew us out of his mouth. What I didn't finish is some of the trials that we keep going back through is because other people are allowing those demons to hang around. And if we'd all just get serious, say, you know what? That devil's not my friend. I don't want anybody else to have to fight this devil. So I'm going to resist it. And then we'll come together and sin won't be able to come through the door. Because we haven't allowed these spirits to come in. And then your pastor will say, you know what? There's no place I'd rather preach than right here. Well, hallelujah. Revelation 3:14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So God is telling us in verse 14, I'm going to be the Amen section in this last age, and I'm going to give an amen to somebody. I am going to vindicate what is being said, is my word. Can you imagine, friends, what the service would be like this morning if while I was preaching the word, God were to come in all of his glory, physically, or come in a glory cloud, and belt out a big amen as the word's going forth. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's not theoretical. What if I want you to see this morning is that I can show you where this scripture has been fulfilled in our day. A message of deliverance. A message of restoration. A message of marriage. A message of a mature body. a message of a body change, a message of a rapture going forth. And God has belted forth with a great big amen that this message is my message by vindicating it, that it is His word. And the amen and the faithful and the true witness knows what He's talking about. When He speaks, it never misses. It's not a hit and miss message in this day. No longer lukewarm. He has constantly punctuated His word with amen upon amen upon amen, because He is the faithful and true witness, and He cannot lie. And this is the capstone revelation. Jesus is the amen to His own word, to the prophecy. So what He's doing, friends, He is the so let it be of God. And if His Spirit is in you this morning, it will declare, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, amen. Amen. And amen means so be it. Amen. Amen stands for finality. It stands for approval. My name is Jesus Christ, He says, the faithful and true witness, and I approve this message. Jesus was the amen of the Old Testament prophets. When He came in flesh 2,000 years ago, He just amened that entire message, confirming the word that had already been spoken through the mouths of the prophets. God is putting His seal of approval today on the message of the hour, that it's His message. God is saying amen to His own word. He is the final speaker. He's the final voice. Right. When He punctuates the message with amen.
Right.
Listen, friends, night after night, the same one veiled in the pillar of fire that spoke to Moses came each night and confirmed that it was His word in our day.
Right.
And that same one that appeared to Paul, and the same one that spoke to him again and again and again, is the same one that's come again in our day. It's the same Jesus. It's the same angel of His own covenant. He came night after night to vindicate His word and to put His stamp of approval upon it. In the message, Standing in the Gap, Brother Branham talks about the picture of the cloud for the first time that was taken over Sunset Mountain in February of 1963. And he tells us how the angels came just quicker than you could bat your eyes in a constellation and lifted Him up. And then he tells us that the angels formed a cloud. He told Brother Gene Norman around the campfire that for a week the angels of the Lord had been waiting here for us to come. Why didn't that make it in Life magazine? Who cares what Life magazine has to say? That's not the final voice. So Brother Bram takes the photograph and describes it to the church in vivid details, what was in the photograph. And he tells us where he was at and what he was doing. And he says to us, God was vindicating and showing to us His word. Now, are you going to believe?
Right.
If you're not going to believe that, then how about the opening of the word that you claim to believe?
Right.
I wouldn't believe anything. If part of it's a lie, all of it's a lie.
Sure.
At the end of the service, this service that Brother Brown was preaching, a man by the name of Edmund Way, he was sitting near the front and he fell dead in the meeting. And his wife was a registered nurse, and she went to him immediately and felt his pulse. His eyes were set back in his head, and he died from a massive heart attack. So she cried out for the Lord to intervene, for Brother Branham to come and pray for her husband. And Brother Branham comes down and takes him by the hand and says, Lord Jesus, give him back his life. And he raised up. And he sat there for a little bit as the blood began to flow once again. And then he got up and left as a well man. No heart troubles. And Brother Branham had picked up a murmur in his heart a few weeks earlier in an interview. But he also picked up a murmur in his spirit, where Brother Way was resenting the things that were being said. And if he would have died that way, there would have been no mercy. What a God of mercy. I want you to know concerning that cloud, friends. God came down and said, amen, to testify of the cloud. The Lord himself came down as he said that he would. Tell me, what man can raise the dead? Only God can give life. And only he can take it away. So God was giving an amen. God was giving a witness because he is the faithful and true witness. And he witnessed to the opening of the seven seals. He witnessed to the cloud. He witnessed to the angels. And all of these other things. Now I have a simple question for you as we wrap things up here this morning. Those that dispute what has already been given witness to, where are their credentials? You know, just like people that run through the church and backbite, where's your credentials? Where's your vindication? What vindication punctuated their testimony with an amen? We know the credentials of the Way family and of the messenger. God came down and witnessed that this is the truth. Show me where else there is a resurrection power like that. It's the amen of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him, I'll sup with him, and he with me. Amen. And the church says?
Amen.
How many knows that's the truth?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, my desire is for all of you to be happy. But Brother Doug, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to. If you want to share it with us, we'll talk it over. We'll pray with you. But Paul said, I've learned a secret. Whatever situation that I'm in, to be content. Increased with goods, whether I have nothing, whether I'm on the mountaintop, whether I'm in the valley, whether people are lying about me, whether people are saying good song, or I like your dress, I like your do. Whatever situation you're in, you should be at peace. Because God is with you. And if not, we've got some other Jesus. We got some other religion, because that's what this produces. He was with Israel, and Israel's critics said, that God is God. And they were afraid of Israel's God. They didn't want to serve him, but they were afraid of him. Well, if that was how it was under the blood of bulls and goats and under a different covenant, how about under this covenant? Under the very blood of God. I got news for you this morning, friends. Devils know that this is the truth. And the thing that scares them the most is for you to find out. It scares them to death for you to get happy in the midst of your trial. You know why? Because they'll have to leave. But every one of us has to make that choice. Every one of us. Your pastor is not responsible for your happiness. The trustees are not responsible for your happiness. The deacons, the song leader, the musicians. Well, I would have had a good service, but Sister Victoria's playing and the keys are coming off the piano. And Brother Joel hit a string and it went flying. And, well, imagine how it felt when it whacked him in the face. I think that might have happened, didn't it, once a long time ago? Or it may happen, I don't know. Just keep on playing. No. God promised us, friends, He'd speak to us. And He's that still small voice. So every time that we come together, we should expect for Him to speak to us. And when He's speaking to us, there'll be an inner voice that'll witness to that. And it'll line right up with His Word. And it'll be so simple. It'll be so common. But the devil will come along and try and tell you that, well, you know, if it's really God, it'd just be this real loud thing. Well, no, that's not. Walk with me. Learn of me. See that I'm humble. I'm meek. He's not a loudmouth. Friends, He has every right this morning to say, I alone have the truth. And He has every right to tell all the other voices to shut up. And in fact, that is what He's doing. But you have to surrender to Him. And then He will, through you, tell all those other voices to shut up. Through you, He will say, you know what? I got peace like a river. I got joy like a fountain. There's no God like Jehovah. He is Lord. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my encouragement. He's my all in all. He's my peace. He's my refuge in time of trouble. I'm happy. I need His strength. I need His comfort. Friends, we all do. But we run to Him. And we allow Him to make Himself real to us. To prove that He's all of these things. To encourage us. To strengthen us. To minister to us. Perhaps sending angels to minister to you. After a trial. That's the God that we serve this morning. That's the God we want to talk about. That's the God we want to draw attention to. That's the one we want to speak about. We don't want to speak about the God of this evil age and how miserable He is, how depressed He is because He's going to hell. If I was going to hell, I'd be depressed too. If I read the back of the book and saw that I lost, I'd be discouraged too. But I have read the back of the book, and it says, I win, and He loses. I have every reason to be happy. I didn't say that bad things don't happen to me. They do, but God makes them work for the good. And He'll do the same for you. But you have to believe that. You have to take Him at His word. You have to be willing to look the doctor in the eye. And the doctor tells you there's no hope. You have to be willing to say, well, He told me that there is. Knowing that you may look foolish. But either He's your healer or He's not. Either He's speaking to you or He isn't. And I got news for you this morning. If you are a son or daughter of God, He is speaking to you. He is leading you. He is guiding you. You know His voice, and another you will not follow. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we stand here this morning, I pray that you take up this chopped up message, Lord. And just, Lord, may it minister to each heart according to where we're at, according to our needs. according to your will, according to the work that you're doing amongst us. Father, I pray for just complete healing through every crack and corner of this building, whether it be spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, whatever it might be. I pray, Lord, that if there be anyone here this morning that has been hesitant to let go, just let you minister to every part of their life, to go through every crack and corner of their home, of their heart, and Lord, to establish your covenant in their heart, to write your words upon their heart. Lord, to dwell in your atmosphere and for you to dwell within them. Lord, if there's anyone that, Father, you know that we're not putting anybody out. But Lord, we would be remiss if we failed to preach the full counsel of God. If we ignored the message that was delivered specifically to this age, which is to not be lukewarm, not to be confused, not to listen to other voices, but to be on fire and to recognize the God that answers with fire is the true God, the one that says, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. I will commune with you and I will be the amen to my own word. I will confirm it. Lord, we would be remiss. We don't believe for a moment that this is just special for certain people, that some are maybe more enthused than others or whatever it might be. But this is every son and daughter of God, everyone that you're calling, everyone that's an overcomer in this last age, this last hour. It's not just for some of us to be happy. It's not just for some of us to have peace. It's for all of us. Now, Lord, every one of us will face battles that are different from one another. But what's common is it's the enemy coming against us. And what's common is that we've got to take your word and believe it. No matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, and confess what your word has to say about it. And then you will amen your own word by bringing it to pass in our life. And Lord, there's no higher compliment that we could pay you this morning but to take you at your word. And that's what we want to do, Lord. Father, we put every depressing and negative spirit on notice here this morning, that we will not tolerate you. We will not bear with you. But we demand that you leave this building in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you leave these people, that you leave this body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you not hop back on someone as they go out the door, but you leave and you find some other place to go. I don't feel sorry for you. I realize you don't want to go, but you have to go. We're not upset. We're not miserable. We're overcomers. We're positive because the Holy Spirit is positive. We've been given exceeding great and precious promises, which don't include what you bring into our thinking at nighttime and the times when we're alone. And devils, as a body this morning, we want to put you on notice that if you do come and try and visit us in our private times, we're going to make it public. We're going to let our brothers and sisters know that you're ganging up on us. We're going to bring it out into the light. And this body is going to pray together as a body, caring one for another. And greater is he that's amongst us than he that's in the world. We just want to put you on notice. We're going to take our position. We're going to exercise our authority. Our homes are going to be tabernacles. Even in the natural, we're going to create an atmosphere. And there's going to be peace in our home. And the peace of the Lord will not depart. So that means you won't be comfortable in our homes anymore. If we've got to have the pastor, the brothers come over and dedicate our home or pray over it, we'll do that. But we're here to tell you, we have a refuge. We've been promised. And we're going to possess it and walk in it. And the peace of the Lord is going to remain there. And I know, devil, that that makes you uncomfortable. And I'm counting on it. Because I know you won't hang out where you're not comfortable. Well, the same thing is true in this building this morning. We're coming prayed up. We're coming in expectation. We're coming with the mindset that we're not giving you an inch. We didn't come to listen to you. We didn't come to fellowship with you. We didn't come to feel sorry for you. We came to hear from God. We came to commune with the body. We came to hear that still small voice. And that's what we're going to do. So you might as well, you've been put on notice. This is how things are going to be. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would examine our hearts, would examine our lives, our situation, that we would, Lord, as we've been saying over and over and over and over, when your word comes, it's not to tear us down, it's to lift us up. But Lord, the lifting up many times means getting the devil off our back, means hearing the truth, means getting these voices that bring confusion. You said you're not the author of confusion. I believe you, Lord. So we're not going to give credence to any of these voices. If a voice speaks, we're going to take it to the Word. We're going to run it through the Word. If it doesn't pass the Word test, we're casting it down. We're going to resist, and that spirit will flee. We have that promise. Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary as we come together, thinking good thoughts, saying good things, being in expectation, being fervent, being sincere, being about our Father's business, seeking the will of God in our lives. Let this word be done in my life as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. Won't you grant it this morning? Father, I pray that the balm of the Holy Spirit would move into every crack and corner of this building. And those that are listening in this morning, Lord, that are not in the building, but Lord, we know that your spirit is not bound by a proximity. But Lord, those that are listening, that are believing, those that are under different circumstances, we pray that you'd minister to their hearts as well. And we just pray, Lord, that the balm of your Holy Spirit would move. And Lord, just confirm your word in each and every heart. Lord, there may be some here that the devil's still speaking to, that's trying to convince them that they're being picked on. But Lord, may your spirit just show them gently that it's your enemy that's being exposed this morning. And those voices that might speak back and say, we are being picked on. Well, no, that spirit is being exposed. But sons and daughters of God are not being picked on. They are being set free. For he that is the Son has set free is free indeed. The amen of his word. Father, I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one. That you'd minister, Lord, according to our needs. And I pray, Lord, that as we receive your word, as we say, Lord, I believe it. I confess it. As we surrender to it, Lord, may it just bring each and every one of us that much closer together. May it drive out, Lord, any kind of a funny feeling, any kind of a spirit that would try to drive a wedge, that would try to move amongst us. May it just be squeezed out, Lord, as we squeeze together in this invisible union that's taking place right now. Bless each and every one, Lord. May each one be encouraged. May each one be strengthened. And may you receive all honor and glory. May faith rise in the building, Lord. May faith rise to believe you for more and more and more, knowing that you care. Lord, may we involve you in every aspect of our lives. I pray for our young ones, Lord. And I continue to pray for our young ones. Lord, if you would tarry, that's the next generation. And Lord, you're not going to wait until we pass off the scene to deal with our with the next generation, but it's you don't have grandchildren, you have children. So, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to their needs, to their hearts, that they'd be encouraged, that they'd be strengthened, that they'd be an expectation to see the living God, not just an opinion, not just a, my parents said this or the pastor says that, but you vindicating your word, that it's the truth, Lord. Grant it. Father, you said you'd be a comforter to each and every one of us. I believe that this morning. Won't you grant it, Lord? We know that that's your desire, that you desire it more than we do, and we have a painful desire for it this morning. Won't you grant it, Lord? We ask these things in the lovely name, the name above all names. Forgive us, Lord, of our mistakes, our slowness of heart, our sins, our slackness, Lord. Each and every one of us from the pulpit to the back door. Lord, we just want to be what you want us to be as we surrender to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. more time. I need you, Lord. Lord.